I'm the patriarch. The grey hair, the one who has seen things, done things. I remind you of your own dad, or the one you wish he'd been. Sword or gun, you'll always find me on the front line. And though you know that the good often perish in great drama, you won't be able to help yourself. Listen to the voices you love. Keep them close. The mothers, the lovers, the fathers. Do this, because all our stories are too short for bad characters.
Great characters make great drama. More than TV. ITV.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty-Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson, hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Susie going toe to Tobin.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give 'em hell, Miss Noel.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
Solo K with Wellington Dupre.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Brobs. I'm Ronnie Karam. I'm also on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. That's my dad there, Eddie. Hi, Dad.
Oh.
You're on video today, sucker. It wouldn't be a complete trip to Texas without an appearance from the dad. And since I'm vegetarian now, I don't get Whataburger anymore. I get something else. What the hell? Anyway, hi, everybody. Today we're doing Real Housewives of Atlanta. That's Ben over there, Ben Mandelker. He created the Real Housewives of Kitchen Island. I mean, what a stud. Hi, Ben.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you. Hi. Yeah, I got to start writing a new episode. It's like, now I can take some time off. And all of a sudden, it's like, no, got to do a new one. So I'm going to start writing a new episode very soon. Probably
Holler.
Today. Holler.
So today we're doing this. Come see our live shows. We're going to be in Vancouver this week. We are going to be doing the premiere episode of Real Housewives of Vancouver in Vancouver. Because why not? We're in Vancouver, so we have to do something that says Vancouver.
Yeah, okay. And if you want to watch that, it's available on Slice. Like, if you just Google Real Housewives of Vancouver and Slice, it's like Canadian Bravo. You can watch it. I was able to start watching it here in Los Angeles. So, you know, that's how you can watch it very easily and for free.
Yeah, and then after that, we're going to go to Austin for South by Southwest. And then after that, we're going to go to Cincinnati. Then after that, we're going to go to lots of places. We're going to Phoenix, Irvine, Portland, DC, Boston,
Milwaukee. Yeah, we're actually going to DC before South by Southwest. And in case you didn't get the memo, we're going to be covering the season premiere of Real Housewives of New York at the DC show. So that's going to be nothing short of epic, I believe.
There is now a sandwich covered in onions and jalapenos sitting on my bed right next to me, unopened. I mean, all opened and microwaved, which is very sweet, but gross.
I am curious, Ronnie. I thought you were not in Texas anymore. I thought I could have sworn I saw an Instagram story where you're like, bye, Texas.
Yeah, well, we did a Dallas show last week, as you remember, Ben. You were in it.
Yeah, I do
you're
remember
the part
being
of
there.
We. we did that last week, and then I came to visit my family in Texas, and Brandy and Julie were doing Dumb Gay Politics here, and Leah was their guest, so Leah Black came out to do that. And then my cousin Jenna and Reed, they sang Sweet Transvestite at their show, so I was like, I want to come, you know, that'll be fun to see Julie and Brandy and Leah in one place.
Yeah.
And so I just stayed here. I stayed here for the whole week and hung out with the family and did their show. I did a segment called Gay Guys with Feelings. About how anger feels so good. So that'll come out on their show. It was a really fun show. And then went out and partied our faces off, okay? Brandy and Julie showed up to the airport in the same clothes. that they were in the night before. So
nice.
Bless those girls. They can party like maniacs, you know. And we stayed out all night and then dragged my ass to the airport. And the flight was delayed 5 hours. Then we taxied for an hour. And then they're like,
why?
Mechanical failure. So they canceled our fucking plane. So then we had to go. And it was fun because I was with Brandy and Julie, obviously. So they at least made me laugh the whole time and kept me from fucking murdering somebody.
Yeah.
So they didn't have flights out till today, but we have to do shows in the Rose Pricks tonight. So I just stayed until tomorrow. So I'm going to come, get my passport, get the hell out of there, go to Canada.
So you're going to go directly from Texas to Canada? Oh, I see what you're saying. You're
I would have, but I don't
LA.
Have my passport because I have to keep my passport in one little place or I'll lose it because, you know, I lose everything.
Yeah. I made the transition of like moving the passport out of its like little special place onto like my nightstand. Because I'm like, do not forget the passport, you know, like, so it's currently like in a highly visible place where it's like, it will have a less chance of being forgotten, but there's still a good chance I'll forget my passport.
Mine's in like a ridiculous place in my house. Cause you know, when you're like, hide it so only you can find it. Like someone's going to want, like, what is Uncle Fester going to need to travel suddenly and want to steal my passport? Like,
yeah.
Who's going to steal my passport?
Uncle
you know,
Fester.
But yeah, I need somebody who looks just like me to get on a plane, you know, but, well, I was going to ask my neighbor to go get it, but I was like, you know, I really need my bed too. Cause staying in Texas, like I love my family, but you have family. It's like, go see your grandfather in the old folks home, go see me, ma, go, you have to make sure you say bye to so-and-so, the kids want to see you at the volleyball game, and I'm like, no, I'm not used to seeing people this much. I need to sleep, I need to be alone, I need to cuddle with my dog.
See your dog. You definitely need that. Well, I'm excited. Come back, rest up, because we're gonna have a great time at Just for Laughs. That festival already started, and I've already started to see the stuff they've been posting on Instagram. And it's already been like Fred Armisen and Seth Rogen and like all sorts of really, really cool stuff. So I'm excited to throw myself into the festival, ideally with you. But we'll definitely have our show. And I'm actually really excited for Real Housewives of Vancouver because it's something I've been hearing about for ages. I hear they're just terrible, wretched women. And I'm excited just to like have like a group sesh where we talk about how awful they are and make fun of them on their home turf.
Yeah.
So I'm like super excited. Watch whatcrappens.com for those tickets. And now.
All the Real Housewives of Orange County. I mean, Atlanta. Also, thanks for letting me tell that big, long complaining story. But you're the only person I can complain to properly because everyone else is like, be more positive. You know, and I'm like, fuck you. Go fuck yourself. So thank you.
No, I'll
for
never
that.
Tell you to be more positive. Never, ever, ever.
Thank you.
I'm sad because I really feel like I had a good anecdote to tell you, and I just can't remember it at all. And it's
if you remember it, feel free. Because the reason I went off like that is because this Real Housewives of Atlanta, you know what? While I'm in a bad mood, get your shit together, Atlanta, okay?
Yeah.
Kenya was a pain in the ass. You finally got rid of her, and now you're going to make it look like the show can't live without Kenya. And that's bullshit. It's like making Kenya right, and it's pissing me off. I'm frankly sick of you, okay? I sat there last night, pissed off anyway, but especially pissed at you. Make an effort, Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah, please, please do. I mean, this season's gotten so bad. It's making me wonder, is it worse than Orange County? Like, I don't want to even say that because at least Atlanta has really great personalities. But honestly,
not really.
Orange County has great personalities, too. Like, Atlanta is like really like, I mean, it is nothing is happening. And I'm mad.
I'm mad,
really,
to you.
Really,
thank
really
you.
Mad.
The joint anger. I'm
like, this is not how it should be. I don't know. I honestly don't even know how to fix the show right now other than bringing back Kenya.
Dude,
you know?
It's some bullshit, okay? I have to watch a stupid, privileged asshole cry about not having a third wedding dress. Are you fucking kidding me? Do you know what's happening in the world right now, okay? And you're just pretending to have money anyway. Who the fuck do you think you're kidding, lady who married a failed mayor who ran for mayor? And then I got to watch Greg have cancer and Nene try and come up with some reason that she's going to divorce Greg that doesn't have anything to do with cancer because she's not getting all the attention for one goddamn second in her life.
Yeah, and then we have to...
It's like everyone's like, just crying the whole time.
Yeah, and then we have to watch, like, the second coming of Gretchen and Slade's engagement, basically. You know, so... I don't know. Like, it's hard. It's really, really hard. I'm not into it. I don't know what's got to change. I actually, it's funny because other housewives, I'm like, this is what you got to do. This is who you got to get rid of. I don't know what's going, I don't know how to fix Atlanta. I don't.
Well, I'd like to say that Shamari is pretty cute and funny in her testimonial things, which she is, but she's doing nothing. Get rid of her ass. Get rid of Eva. Just apologize and get rid of those girls. Get rid of Nene. She needs to be back off that show. It was better without
her. I agree.
The ratings stayed up without her, and everyone else had room to do something and not be terrified of that moose.
So
they need to do something because I'm over it. I'm at the point where I'm like, bye, let's just cover Mexican dynasties instead, because at least that looks
it's getting to that. It's honestly getting to that, because Mexican dynasties is going to premiere next week, and we're already going to have a traffic jam of shows in March. I mean, we're probably gonna have a bunch of reunions going on. Atlanta will be happening, Vanderpump Rules will be happening still. We're gonna have Mexican Dynasties, we have Summer House, we have Marriage Madness in LA, we have Project Runway, we're still gonna have some Top Chef. Although I think that Top Chef and Project Runway are probably gonna like tag off, you know? Yeah. But definitely. It's still I still think there's one or two more shows to cover, and it's just like, you know, Atlanta might get pushed to the bonus episode. I feel weird. It's a Real Housewives, but you know what? Like,
I don't even want to waste a bonus episode on it at this point. I want to be like, here's what happened last night on Atlanta. Nene acted like a fucking asshole, and everyone put up with it for no reason at all. And Dennis married someone with hot dogs in his fortune. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, it might be. I feel like Atlanta has two noteworthy episodes coming up where Nene gets into a fight and pulls the shirt off of a cameraman, and then that drunk lady comes back. And I think everything else will just be filler, and we'll have a wedding, and I think the wedding may just be relegated to like a, here's what happened, you know?
Yeah, I think that we're going to have to relegate it to just covering those funny scenes and then getting rid of the rest, because I'm over it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's enough negativity, because who wants to listen to a show where they like it, so they come to listen to a show about it, and then it's all negativity about the show? No,
let's come to a place of happiness, which is, there's still stuff to talk about, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I still wrote down like a million notes.
Yeah, it does feel like someone needs to say it. I mean, come on, people. We say it about every other show, but it's officially time, Atlanta. Pull it together.
I feel like people have loved Atlanta for so long that it's like, it's hard to actually be like officially a hater, but I think it's time. So, anyway, I think, like, honestly, like the most exciting thing about this episode was trying to figure out, like, did I just see an enormous, like, multi-story peach in Atlanta? Did I see that in the opening, in the very beginning? It was like a giant peach, like the size of a skyscraper. Was that me? Was that like an illusion?
Yeah, that's a big thing in Atlanta. You didn't see it when we were there?
No, wait, there was a giant, that's like a building there?
Yes, this segment is called It's Time to Stop Staring at Our Phones When We're in Cabs. Okay, because we pass a lot of really great things. Yeah, I saw that peach.
I didn't see that peach
at
all.
It's real. And it's also been on this show for like 10 years, man.
I've never seen it all these years. That's how bad the show is, because it's like normally the show is so good that I don't even see a giant peach. And now I've seen the giant peach.
Yeah, it's on there every week. They're like, bah, 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 bah.
I mean, I feel like peach. I see the peach tree sign, but I never see the giant 10-story peach.
Well, maybe you've just always thought it was a small peach, because you can't really tell on TV if things are like a building or if they're just a close-up.
You know how like the brain processes things? Like the brain will bend reality to like meet like your reality, what you expect.
Yeah.
So my brain has always processed that giant peach into like a normal sized peach, like an edible peach, not a building peach.
Yeah, you thought you were like the incredible growing woman, but you're really the incredible shrinking woman.
It's like I was in a really bad version of the Matrix where I took the red pill, and then all that happened was that I noticed that a peach that I thought was normal size was actually much larger. But and like that's the only thing that changed.
It
in
was
the Matrix.
Real Housewives of Atlanta, so you were in the Phaedrix.
Yeah, I was in the Phaedrix, and basically
she lived there too, Phaedra.
The robots took over, and all they wanted to do was make me believe that large peaches were actually much smaller.
The Phaedra robots took over and wanted everybody to believe that she could only be pregnant for like 2 weeks, and then that her husband was like a really successful businessman.
yeah, I like the Phaedrix actually. Phaedrix sort of works for me. It's exciting. It's exciting. Wear a trench coat and watch it.
And the Phaedrix candy has a dungeon.
Yeah. So this episode opens up with Ronnie lotioning Shamari's elbows, which is exciting. And then Cynthia's like doing a tour of her like future wine empire. And she's like, cha, this is the Bailey wine cellar. I want to take some wine bottles and cement them into the walls. And Mal's with her. And Mal's like, did you do this before? She's like, Cha, I'm creating it. It's an original. And Mal's just like,
Mal's like, oh, goodness.
I can only do my Mal face so much right now. There's not enough Mal face in me to give me to give you the Mal face that you deserve.
Yeah. Mal's like, why am I even here? Why do you only call me when you want to marry someone terrible or start a terrible business or when you fall on your ass from doing, you know, one of the either?
Yeah, exactly. And Mal's like, all these years I always wanted her to get away from the kitchen island. And now that she has, I realize what a terrible mistake I've made.
So Portia is going to the dentist store. To the dentist store. She's buying dentists with Dennis. She's buying multiple dentists.
Ooh,
just
I found
in case,
a dentist.
Just for when this one falls through. So she's at the dentist store, the baby store. And of course, you know it's a Portia scene because it opens with the car door opening and her going, I need some water because I'm pregnant now. It's like, we get it. Oh my God. They should make pregnancy tests with just Portia's voice coming at it. Like you pee on it and then it goes, you're pregnant now.
What's worse, Portia talking about being pregnant or Andy Cohen talking about how he's a dad now? Because we're getting a lot of that, too, I'd like to add.
Well, I've seen a lot of that because I'm in grocery stores a lot because, you know, Texas, what else do you do? I go to grocery stores every day going like, wow, it's so big here. And yeah, there's a lot of Andy Cohen and a hairy little head on. You know, it's so sad. I'm not jealous of Andy Cohen for having a baby. I'm jealous of a baby for having hair. Like, it's not even fair.
And potential.
How dare you?
No, for both of us.
Oh.
You know? The baby has a whole world ahead of it. Oh, yeah. We're just podcasters.
Oh, God, I don't need to be a baby again. That was terrible. Could you imagine having to go back on your mom's tit? No, thanks!
Yeah, it's not our style. Although, being able to sort of, like, shit whenever you want, that's kind of a luxury.
Well, since someone else cleans it up
for you. to be able to shit your pants, I mean, that's nice.
So, Portia, she announces to us that she's pregnant and to Dennis, and then she walks into the baby store and she's like, hi, we're parents to be. And the lady's like, and I needed more of a slow clap from the lady because you think the lady in the baby store doesn't see pregnant people all fucking day long, Portia, okay? She doesn't care. You don't get applause in a baby store for getting pregnant.
Yeah, that woman's smart. She knows how to get her commission up because she probably does that little applause for every single person who makes that announcement as if they're being so clever, you know?
Yeah, well, Dennis, she's like,
you are showing and you're in a baby store. I could kind of figure it out, but I'll give you the applause anyway.
And Dennis has a frequent flyer card around his neck. It's like a woman sees a man with that many women's tattoos on his neck and all over his body walk in and she's like, oh my God, I see my retirement walking in. You know.
So they're in there and Portia's like talking about her boobs and she's basically like, you know, once I start nursing, these boobs don't belong to Dennis anymore. And he's like, yeah, but I still need some milk with my cereal too. I was like, why is it that when he makes up an analogy, it just grosses me out? I don't know why.
It's disgusting. It's not like anybody could make that and it wouldn't be disgusting, but especially him. And I think it's because, you know, he's not kidding.
Yeah.
You know?
He, like, really wants to squirt her boob milk into his corn pops.
Yeah, I would believe it. You know, if he's gonna have to give up his place and move all the way to Ursula or wherever she lives. Not Decatur.
Duluth. Ursula.
Duluth. So they're shopping around and like, ha-ha, baby things. They're, like, laughing and stuff. And she's like, so, this is ridiculous because they tell the lady they have to order four of everything because there's two grandmas and then they're not going to be living together, which... It's so Portia, you know? They're doing everything backwards. It's like, first you get pregnant, then you consider getting married, and then you consider moving in together, you know? Are you gonna try and decide whether or not you'll go to lunch after you do all that?
You know? Right, exactly. And then, I don't know if you need four of – even if you did have that arrangement, I don't know if you need four of everything. I don't know if you need four $1,300 stroller/bassinets. I'm also not sure you need one $1,300 stroller/bassinet. Now, I know – at this point, like, complaining about a $1,300 stroller is like that. Like, these $1,300 strollers have been around for a while. Like, this is not a fresh observation to be like, oh my God, a stroller for $1,300? That's crazy. But at the same time, a stroller for $1,300? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Jill's on TV Party, one of the commenters, put, God, get that baby an overnight bag while you're there.
I know.
Well, I think if you're wearing $50,000 on your chest, you should be able to afford a few strollers. You know what I mean? That's what I say. But
I just don't know what that $1,300 goes towards. I mean, is there like anti-lock brakes or something like that? Like, I don't know.
Well, they showed us. It like does all the things. It like turns from a bassinet to a stroller to like a little condo.
Fairly standard in most strollers, by the way. In my mind, if I look at a stroller, I would think like, and this is why I will never be on The Price is Right, but if I just looked at a stroller and like how it's shaped and the things, I would say like $120.
$120.
I would say $120. Maybe at like, honestly, I could even see a $75 stroller, you know?
Yeah, but that's why we never buy anything too. Cause we have that in common. But I don't want to say cheap. Cause like you live in a really nice place. I'm cheap. I live in like a really low rent place that I'm never going to leave because I have rent control. I wouldn't call you cheap, but you're not like crazy. You don't go spend a lot of money if you don't have to. Like you still drive the same Toyota Corolla, you know? Like
Camry,
I've seen no reason to just be blowing money, and I don't have any concept of it because I've never really had it. So to me, I'm like, oh, it would be fun to have a place in Austin. And I'm like, hundreds of thousands of dollars? Who has that? Mm-hmm. How does anybody live on the... Like I didn't know that house... I mean, yeah. I guess you... I thought houses like... I don't know. I thought you like work hard for a year and then you have a house, and that's what responsible people do. No, you only extremely wealthy people.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I there are a lot of times I just don't understand what things like. I think that things are always much less expensive than they are. Like it took me a long time to process that jeans were not just $20.
Yeah, me too. Remember when I needed to find jeans. And so I went to Banana Republic because I didn't have an Old Navy. I almost threw up in the store. I could not believe that people pay that much for jeans. I mean, I complained about the $20 I pay on sale at Old Navy. I'm like, this is high.
Yeah.
That's
it's crazy.
A lot of money to cover a fat butt. Okay. I could do that with a trash bag. What the hell am I even doing here? But Banana Republic? Oh, my God. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know.
I want
either way,
jeans
they're,
to turn into
have...
a stroller is the point. Okay.
Yeah. So either way, so Dennis now, after some discussion, Dennis says he'll sell his bachelor pad and move in with Portia. And she's really happy because she says that her house represented like her being like a phoenix rising out of the ashes, and that like she worked so hard. And I'm like, I do get that, but I'm also like, hasn't she had like 5 houses since she left Cordell? Like, is that just me? I don't want to cast shade on her dreams, but I kind of feel like...
But this is her forever house. Yeah, this one's more important because she was living off a man, but then didn't live off a man. But now she wants to keep it while she lives off another man. It's very confusing. Except now she makes her own money, too.
She's not living off of Dennis. That's one thing.
Well, they're acting like Dennis is Daddy Warbucks, you know, and he's got more money than Bill Gates.
Yeah, well,
I don't
know. I mean,
she's got her own damn jobs.
He has to sell a lot more hot dogs, I think.
Yeah, and I will say that this is going to be the end of their relationship, him moving to Duluth and giving... Who the hell wants to drive for an hour every day to go run a hot dog stand? Nobody, okay?
Yeah, no, that's why they're going to get a new place. This is what it's going to be. He's going to move in, and then next season is going to be the story of them getting a new place or, like, renovating it, and it'll be closer to downtown to the hot dog factory. And it's going to be special because it's a place that they're getting together, because they realize that while the last house was her dream house, it didn't really have everything that she needed for her young family. It's the typical bullshit. It's like every single time Bethany Frankel spends a season jerking off over her penthouse in Tribeca. And then the next season's like, well, yeah, I just had to sell it. I'm getting a new place. I'm like, wait, you just made us like... You just force us to watch endless scenes of renovations and how much you love it, and now this is finally home, and now you're getting rid of it. Like I'm sick of these house attachments that people make me feel.
Yeah, their personal life spiritual journey through their house buying, you know, their constant house buying.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, now we go on to OLG 2, the sequel.
Yeah, this is a real note that I wrote. Riley goes to OLG. Didn't Candy look like Riley when she went in there? And then I was like, oh my God, it's Candy. They really are like sisters.
I did not pick up on that, but Riley is starting to look more and more like Candy for sure.
You're my dad. I hope she comes out with an album. I need a full Riley album, okay?
Yeah, always. Did she never drop a full album? She just had that one song?
I think she just had that, you took me to lunch and made me pay the bill album. But I don't know if it was a whole album or just a single.
Yeah. So Candy and Todd are there, and hold on a second. I think that the Let me see. I don't know if this is
or my house.
I'm going to see. Hold on 1 second. Everyone on TV party, enjoy this. Hold on. Because the thing is, the landlord is supposed to come in, like, barge in today, but it might just be Dom.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Is that you, Dom? Yeah. Oh, hi. Okay, I'm going to close the door. Hold on 1 second. This is a little bonus content for the TV party.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, everybody's dying for this one. All right, make out. Make out. Make out. Sorry, everybody at home. You know, I would cut this out, but I'm very lazy. So you're just going to have to wait for Ben to come back. Okay? And now he's putting on his headphones. And there he
What'd
is.
You say? I'm back. Sorry. No, because the landlord was supposed to put up a notice saying, like, I'm coming in today. So I wasn't sure if it was a landlord showing up at the front door, but it was just dumb.
Boring. This
anyway,
sucks.
It's so anyway. So we're at old lady gang, and Candy and Todd. They're talking about they're training the chefs because this place is about to open up, and they have to be good up on the recipes because this place, this branch has to be as good as the original branch, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Candy's
like,
all.
But what did we say? We have a chef that already knows how to make it, even though it'll be hard for the chef to be in two places at once. So should we get another chef that can do the same thing and just pay them a little extra money? It's like, okay, we know this is about your surrogacy. Just get it out there, Candy.
So then, you know, clearly they're like setting this up. I'm assuming that the burlesque show / OLG opening will be the season finale, although it could be the Eva wedding. I can't tell. I'm trying to figure it out. But basically, she wants OLG to open by the time the burlesque show is open, and the contractor's like, well, if you invite me to your burlesque show, I'll make sure OLG 2 is ready in time. And Candy, the only reason why I'm mentioning this is because Candy does her laugh. She does that. Oh, I love that laugh. It's like just full of so much skepticism.
Yeah, this one went full on Velociraptor. This one, it was like a Velociraptor about to kill somebody, but she was smiling and clapping, so I guess it worked.
Yeah.
So Todd has this thing where he doesn't believe in surrogates because that's not how he's raised. Which, I mean, most of us weren't, guys. Okay, most of us around our age weren't. That's a fairly new thing, you know. So get over it. Okay.
Yeah, well, my theory is that basically he doesn't want to pay for it now. I feel like he originally wanted it, and now he's like, that's expensive, and no one's giving us a freebie, so I don't think I want to do it anymore. That's my theory.
Now that he's actually stayed long enough in that marriage to fight a prenup, and you know, they've had the baby, and he knows he can get half of everything, he cares a lot more about the bottom line, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
that's
exactly.
True. I didn't really think of it like that, but that's probably true. But look, I don't... Why would she want to have that baby? You know, I know that you weren't raised like where you could just have somebody else carry your baby. I wasn't raised where you could have someone else bring your grocery stores, but I'll be damned if you catch me grocery shopping anytime soon in a place that's not Texas. I'm just here for fun. Okay.
Times change, you know?
Times change.
So yeah, so the whole thing is that Todd was originally like gung ho on the surrogacy, and then all of a sudden he's like, I don't even want to like see the surrogate, which Candy just gives him a look like she just wants to fucking strangle him. She's like, see now, you made me get invested in this process, and now you want to back up.
Yeah, it's not a microwave oven. You can't just like press the buttons and then come back when your macaroni's ready to stir. You know,
no.
Fucker.
No, and don't put metal in it either.
Learn that lesson.
What happens if you put metal in it? Just starts a fire?
Yeah, it starts to spark. But usually it'll stop. There's something in it to sense it that will stop it.
Thank God.
Because I would be dead right now. But also, you know, we're talking about how the future is now and how times change and stuff. But how come you still can't put metal in a microwave? You know, there's certain things that don't change.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I always am afraid I'm going to accidentally like heat up some food in a Tupperware and I didn't realize I left a spoon in it. I feel like that's like a constant fear for me.
Yeah, well, it's America. I'm sure it happens across the board every day. There's got to be something in there saving us, or we'd be reading it every day. Like another baby dies in a microwave explosion in Duluth. You know, Porsche's done that at least 20 times.
I once lit my microwave on fire because I needed to time something. I needed like to set like a 10-minute timer. And so I set a 10-minute timer, but I didn't realize it was I accidentally set the microwave to cook for 10 minutes, not set the timer. And so it was just microwaving nothing for 10 minutes until it like started like a fire inside the microwave and like melted the bottom of the little plate. This is how good the season is of Atlanta. But I'm talking about trading horror stories of microwaves.
Yeah, Atlanta, you're doing so well that I actually had to stop myself from telling a microwave story right now to talk to Ben about it. Okay, I actually had to say, no, this is not a microwave show, Ronnie. We're not going to talk about microwaves anymore. Okay, and I really have a good one. Okay, so he's like, I don't even want to be part of it, baby. She's like, So, they'll figure it out. They hold hands. Now it's Nene and Greg. And Nene is just like, this is the scene where Nene is just telling us, oh, we were having problems even before he was diagnosed. So don't think that this is us having problems because he has cancer and because I'm sick of working all day for somebody else. And I'm sick of life not constantly being about me. This is really, this was already coming. And I'm like, I don't know. That's a stretch, Nene. You cannot divorce someone when they have cancer. It's been done. I'm not going to say it hasn't been done. And if anyone could pull it off, I'm sure Nene could. But I'm not going to be on your side, fucker.
Yeah. It's basically a scene where she's taking Greg to the hospital. He's going to have surgery to get his colostomy bag, and have basically his like intestines put back together. So they're driving and she's like, okay, well, I'm gonna leave during the surgery to pack up some stuff for Swagalicious, which on the one hand it's like, yeah, I mean, like, why not, right? On the other hand though, it's like, I think I would maybe stay there just to be in support of your husband. I don't know,
honestly. You know what's so sad? Like, I cannot bring myself to care. I know it's terrible, but I think I shut off with medical issues. I'm like, tell me when I need to pick you up, I'll be there. Like, I'll be supportive, but I don't know that she needs to, like, sit there and watch his intestines being pulled out and then put back
That's true. But at the same time, it's like, isn't there someone at Swagalicious that could be doing this stuff?
Is Swagalicious even real? Like, that's my
question. Why is there even a store in America called Swagalicious? How about that? Why?
Yeah, why didn't the trademark office stop this? Where is the zoning board in Atlanta? Okay, that's my question.
Why wasn't Swagalicious put into a microwave and set on fire? Okay. Someone take the deed and put it in there. There's no reason that there should ever be a... Like, okay, Swag Boutique, fine. Swagalicious, no.
No.
No. There should never be any business that ends with illicious. Unless it's delicious. But anything else,
you know what
it's
I was
like,
going to say? This vape I'm smoking tastes like Bubblicious, the gum, strawberry something.
I reject it. I think that all sounds disgusting. Because, you know, I have weird issues with like bubble gums and strawberries and fruit things, etc.
So they're talking about that. And she's so mad. Like, he's like, what's wrong? And she's like, nothing, Greg. I just have a lot going on, Greg. And he's like, what do you have going on, Nene?
What does she have going on?
I know, but he doesn't say it like, what do you have going on? He doesn't say, like, I have cancer. What do you have going on? He's like, what do you have going on, Nene? Because he's trying to help her. And she's like, a lot of stuff, Greg. And he's like, what kind of stuff? Greg! he's just trying to start a conversation and she won't. And then it keeps cutting back to her being like, see, isn't he awful? And I'm like, yeah, he seems terrible. Asking you, like, what's wrong? So then she's like, okay, well, I'm not going to be there, Greg. So just go on and do whatever you have to do, Greg. And so he gets out of the car and he's like, okay, well, you have a good one. You can get my suitcase, though. And then it just looks at her like ready to fucking kill Greg. We just saw Greg take you to the airport and like carry six of your suitcases for you while he has cancer, Nene. Okay?
Yeah.
Drop the face and get his fucking luggage.
And you know, I don't know if I mentioned this on last week's episode, but she did something, I think, right actually at the beginning of this scene that reminded me of something that bothered me last week that I didn't talk about. When they were leaving the house in the scene, they walk by the light switches, and Nene goes, like, hit those lights, turn off the lights, whatever. You know?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, you could have done that. And the thing is that last week when she was in Japan and – like, she's sitting on her couch, and Eva comes over to check on her, and there's a knock on the door, and she tells Eva, like, can you go get that? She's like, get that. She basically tells Eva to get the door. I'm like, you know, you're bossy. You're bossy, and you're like, how about you answer your own door? How about you, like, if you're walking by the light switches, you turn them off, okay?
Yeah, make an effort.
Like, I get it. I think she needs to have a visit with All In by Teddy Mellencamp and get some accountability.
She needs to go start dating again. Remember when she had to date that horrible, like, Italian guy and she was so uncomfortable and awkward, but she stayed with it? Like, she stayed in the scene just to get, like, free lunch or whatever. Like, whatever. Didn't he give her, like, jewelry or something? Oh, my God.
Ugh, that was awful. Yeah.
Oh, I'd like to take this moment to announce that I watched 5 minutes of Tardy for the Party. Because that came back, and we're not covering that shit, I'll tell you that right now.
No.
But just because I'm bored and I don't want to talk about cancer, what a piece of shit show. What a horrible, monstrous family who's probably killing the earth with all of their fumes.
Yeah.
Holy bejesus, Kim's face is like literally at this point terrifying.
Yeah.
And the last thing I have to say is that they still use the same $2 opening where Kim's like standing there. And they cut her out in Photoshop, and then they use the emboss, you know, the emboss effect. And
yeah.
I'm like, really? It's a Photoshop emboss? That is your opening? This show is so tacky, I can't believe it's on. Don't watch it. Shame on you, everybody who's watching it. Shame on
you.
Yeah,
I can't believe it's on. I can't believe it's on. The only thing that brought me joy is that someone called in to Watch What Happens Live last night and asked him, why is it that on Instagram you look 20 years younger, but on TV you look 20 years older? So rude. And normally I do not condone such physical shaming, but sometimes it's like what America needs.
That is classic.
I know. So anyway.
And so true. But she doesn't look 20 years younger, really, on Instagram. She looks 20. I mean, she just looks terrifying.
Fears, yes.
20 fears, yeah. I'm not even going to fix that one.
Yeah. No, she just looks, I don't know. It's sad. I mean, she and Brielle do look a lot alike, but that's also sad for Brielle. I don't know. There's just like, it's just a cautionary tale for plastic surgeons and patients and humanity. In general.
Yeah.
And Croy's going down that path too. And I've said it before, those children are all going to be monsters. I'm sorry to say it. They're just children and they're young and they're innocent and children are off limits. But we all know they're going to be monsters. I'm sorry.
Yeah, some of them abuse dogs and the rest of them are blow-up dolls. I have no interest in that family. I'm not watching them and I will not support it.
No, definitely not. So, so Michael and Eva are at home. Eva's making tacos and, she talks about, you know, how she saw her grandfather one last time, very sad, yada, yada, yada. So the wedding DJ comes over and, Eva's like, oh, I appreciate your punctuality. And you just know that Aya was somewhere being like, yes, it's working. Next, I get a Netflix show.
Aya, well, if a lady about cleaning your house can get a show, maybe Aya can get a show about making people on time.
Yeah,
why not?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. It's called showing up instead of tidying up.
Whenever you show up on what did I just say? Aya-ing up. Whenever you show up on Aya-ing up, she goes, oh, whenever you're on time.
Yeah, I would call it keep your Aya on the prize.
Keep your Aya on the prize.
So basically,
sorry for snorting, gross.
I mean, nothing really else happens in this scene except that Michael wants lots of trap music and Eva wants Nicki Minaj. So we have that to look forward to.
I know. And she's like, we're not going to have – he goes, well, what do you want to have them play during our song, Sexual Healing? And she's like, not in front of your mother. Are you crazy? We are playing Nicki Minaj the whole time. I was like,
yeah.
I think his mother would prefer Sexual Healing, okay?
She's like, we're only going to be playing Anaconda, okay? Not Sexual Healing. Anaconda only. And Truffle Butter. Okay?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hello and welcome to Marriott Hotels' In Focus Empowering Podcast Series, which brings together some of the UK's brightest minds to help you reach your full potential and inspire you on your travels. From self-care to side hustles, it explores career trends to offer advice, guidance and practical tips to those who want to get ahead in their careers. You can catch In Focus podcast by keeping an eye out on travelbrilliantly.co.uk or by following Marriott Hotels on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram.
So now Shamari and Ronnie are over go-karting and Portia and Dennis show up. They're on like a double date. Portia shows up. She is just like in this crazy jumpsuit. Like now that she's pregnant, she's really committed more so than ever to like crazy jumpsuits with bonkers patterns. She's like, wearing patterns for two.
Yeah. This is one of the saddest scenes I've ever sat through on Housewives, and I was mad at myself for sitting through it. I was like, surely we're not just going to sit here and watch the husbands go golf carting. Surely
yeah,
we're not. Karting,
yeah. No, they surely, were. But
go karting.
But we are. So, I did enjoy Shamari's shade. She's like, well, now that Portia realizes that we're both from Decatur and we both went to elementary, middle, and high school together, and we know each other quite well, and we went to each other's weddings, etc. She's being a lot nicer.
Yeah. And then they do this fake scene where the girls are like, I play pool. And then they're pretending to know how to play pool while the guys stand 2 feet away from them and talk about how Dennis is going to propose, but they can't hear him. I mean,
yeah.
Seriously?
And I did enjoy watching Dennis go-karting because Ronnie was, like, speeding all around. And Dennis was being, like, very conservative. Like, I think that he thinks that go-karting is like Mario Karting. Like, I think he thought people would be throwing banana peels and hot dogs. He's like, I've been down this path before. He's, like, waiting, you know? He's like, I'm going to be very cautious.
Yeah. On my, when I play Mario Kart, I play Donkey Kong riding a Vespa, and that's kind of what he looked like. So I was rooting for him. But then Portia's like, that's not fair. Your man's a lightweight.
Yeah. So they're
just
playing
big
pool.
Guy on a tiny car. I heard you say, and I was like, what do you
I
mean?
Like,
I was trying to think, what did I do? I didn't mean it like that. Give me a break.
That's... Okay, now we've addressed it.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, I get it, but
like
I would
Wario.
Never.
More like on. Wario. How about that? That's a better. That's no. I of course I don't think anyone really thought that was. Yeah. It was.
I was wondering what you were saying though. I was like, what? I was like, out of all the things
like,
I've said
we'll
so far today, how is a Mario Kart reference going to be the one? I'm sorry, I would never. Okay, yeah, no. So let's see.
But I want our audience to know that we are aware.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So now.
Okay. Then thank you. I'll change that to thank you. Then thank you.
No. So now we're playing pool. Well, they're playing pool, and as you were mentioning before, and I don't know why this made me laugh because Dennis was like, "Are you a pool shark?" And Portia goes, "Don't say pool shark." I was like, "Is she afraid it's going to summon an actual shark out of the out of the pockets of the table?"
It's a baby shark, baby shark. Diddy diddy, I'm pregnant now.
Oh, you know she listens to that song the entire time. I'm surprised Lil Mo wasn't singing that song at the end of the episode.
That's our song, baby shark. Da 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 da. Baby Porsche. Da 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 da. Baby Dennis. Da 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 da. Baby hot dog. Da 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 da.
That song really does stick in your damn head. I can't with that song. I'm so mad that we sang it right now.
You know what song I also, children's song I really enjoyed from a few years ago? It was like, baby monkey, riding on the back. How did it go? There was something about like a monkey on the back of a pig. Great song. Look it up.
Okay. So will do. Wrote it down. Look, I'm writing it down.
So Dennis is going to be proposing this Friday. There's going to be a helicopter, which gives me like
Gretchen vibes.
Shades of Gretchen, yeah. And also shades of Sheree.
And also it's funny that it gives you that vibe because the Portia impression is very similar to the Gretchen impression. It's just like whatever Gretchen. They both did the motorcycle, and there was a song here, except that thank God Portia didn't sing the song, because what was Gretchen's song? Like,
I will pay your bills forever. I will pay,
you know, whatever her song was. Okay, yeah. So that was pretty lame. Okay, so next scene is
I'm stunned into silence at that. Like the mere like uttering of like make me remember Gretchen's song. I have forgotten that Gretchen had a song. Like I forgot that Gretchen is part of the Bravo song library.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
I'll pay for you forever.
Next audition song, people. I'm getting back into musicals. Okay,
so now,
I wrote so many notes in the scene, so let me scroll on past. You do on comments on the internet that you don't like. You just scroll on past. That's how I feel like with this episode.
I like
episode.
All the comments. I think the only other notable thing that happened at go-karts is that Shamari picked Ronnie's nose or something.
Oh, yeah, gross, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, and by the way, Portia has no right to be like, ooh, that's gross, because Portia uses Dennis's toothbrush. So Candy,
I
know,
and I have no right either, because I pick the nose of somebody named Ronnie too all the time. So who am I?
Yeah, I pick my nose. So Candy and Todd are at Dr. Jackie's office to experience Jackie's new program. Circusy is the new It, also known as
Itigacy. Surrogacy is the new Itigacy. Urgacy.
So we meet Shadina, who's the surrogate, Todd's questioning her, and he's like, so you've only done it once? I'm like, Todd, that's a lot. Like, doing a surrogacy just once, that's like, I mean, that's like a big ask for someone. Like, we are going to put you for 9 months in like a medical situation where you'll be pretty uncomfortable for most of it. And your life is going to be a lot worse than it was when you were just like walking around normally. You know, it's like, so the fact that she already did it once is like a really big deal. I don't know. Really,
yeah. Isn't she going through enough? I mean, what's worse, a fork in the microwave or a Todd in the oven? You decide. You decide. Okay.
Dennis. No, Dennis. Peter.
Well, yeah.
Surrogacy one.
Surrogacy one. Wait, Peter, is this surrogacy one? Surrogacy two.
Surrogacy one. He has a surrogacy clinic under a highway. Welcome to surrogacy one.
He just comes in and lightly strangles the surrogates a little bit on the dance floor every night to keep them in shape. Oh, memories of better seasons. So, Shadina is like, she's, first of all, she's so like smart and beautiful, like perfect. I'm like, what are you doing?
Housewife?
Get out of here, okay? Don't do this for Todd, okay? You're better than this.
So the good news is that we got to do, see my favorite thing, which is a Candy cry moment where she was like, well, I just want a good place for my embryos, and like, it means a lot to me, and I can't stop crying like this, and I want to thank everyone and say that I would love to continue in this game, and I really love Big Brother, but if you need to vote me, I understand it.
It's a game of Big Brother. She's just got all of her jobs confused. It's like, no, we're trying to have a Big Brother for your child. Okay.
We'll make your child a Big Brother. That'd be so weird.
Oh, yeah. We're trying
to give birth to a Big Brother, to Ace.
I know. Well, I always tell my nieces, because, you know, I've been gaining weight ever since they were born. And so I tell them, it's because they're always like, Uncle, your stomach is huge, you know, because kids are like so subtle. And so I've always told them I'm pregnant with a baby named Felicia. So, of course, I never lost weight. Like, I used to gain weight and then lose it, but now I'm just gaining it. And it's like too fun to stop. And so, like, you know, now they're like, how's Felicia? She's so big. And I was like, Felicia's like in college right now. Okay. I have a living teenager in my body right now. Get her out.
It's like Buster Bluth, who stayed 10 extra weeks in his mom's uterus or womb, right? Isn't that one of the jokes on the show?
Oh, that's Felicia, that lazy little baby.
Felicia, she's happy. You've made a nice home for Felicia. Why would she ever leave? Yeah. It's more like, hi, Felicia.
Hi, Felicia. Hi again, Felicia.
Anywho, so basically Candy, she's just afraid the surrogate will change her mind. That's just like just surrogate questioning, etc. I mean, what else is there to say? Candy cry.
Well, Todd, what was a creepy question Todd asked her?
Can I touch your belly?
Oh, yeah. Well, Jackie asked that for him, because he asked that before. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, of course, it's totally normal. And then the surrogate the family she was a surrogate for before. What is it? What is the verb? Surrogated? Surrogated?
Surrogated? I like surrogated.
Surrogated. That's nice. Oh, like, it's my prerogative.
Surrogated.
To surrogate.
It's my surrogative.
Or surrogate.
Luann's singing it. Luann's doing a cover of my surrogative.
And if there's ever a problem, it's surrogate. Okay, so anyway, that'll be Cynthia's wife.
That's about why.
Surrogate. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, the other family made her go on a special vegan diet or whatever. And Todd's like, I was just kidding. I don't want you to be vegan.
Good one, Todd.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's move on. Jackie's like, you're all crazy. This is going to cost you $1 million. I'll take the check right now. Thanks.
Okay. Well, the entire time I was actually thinking, like, this must kill Jackie in certain ways, because we all know on Married to Medicine that, like, one of her things is that she always wanted to have a child. And then after she went through breast cancer twice, she can't have children. I'm assuming it means that she lost her eggs. I don't know if she froze them or not, or maybe that wasn't a viable thing when she had it, whatever. But like, given that like Curtis was such a dick about it, he's like, no, no kids whatsoever, yada, yada, yada. It must kill Jackie to sit here and like create, like, you know, to, I mean, not kill, because I think she actually loves it, to provide ways for families to have children, et cetera, but I bet inside she's like a surrogate. Unlike, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm ranting about. I just feel
yeah,
like,
at least her husband's like getting asking questions and making an effort, unlike mine, who didn't let me have a baby and then cheated on my ass publicly.
Thank you.
You know,
it just got me mad at Curtis for some reason.
I'm still mad
like
at Curtis.
Residual Curtis.
You know, you
anger.
Can forgive whoever you want, Jackie, but that doesn't mean I have to. Good luck with that fucker. Okay.
Yeah.
Be here when he does it again.
Yeah.
Okay. So next up is Nene and Brett, and she's like setting up a cookie tray, and she's like, get that, doing what Nene always does, bossing someone. Although
yeah.
when it's your kid, you're allowed. But
yeah,
I mean,
you're
not
allowed
my mom, but other moms. And so she's like, get that out of there. Thank you and goodbye.
Yeah, you're allowed. By the way, you're allowed to ask people to do things. Like, oh, can you get that while you're up, whatever. But she just does it excessively to the point where I'm like, you're just bossy.
Yeah.
Not into it.
So then the girl, Cynthia and Marlo come over and...
Cynthia's like, Chad, I was just going to go to Costco and then I got this tingling sensation that... there were some snacks on a kitchen island somewhere, so I just had to come over and see what was happening.
My quartz alarm went off, and I realized there was some quartz to sit on. I'll just be right here eating a sandwich, child.
Sitting courtside, if you will.
So she's and then Nene greets her by going, whoa, look at your big hair. Are you getting ready to turn a trick? Jeez, glad I drove all the way over here to see you, you asshole. I came from the lake house. I could be leaf blowing right now.
I could be leaf blowing. I could be dropping frozen grapes into my wine right now, alone, without Noelle.
So she asked about Cynthia, obviously, and Nene's kind of trying to avoid things by like looking for a candle.
She's looking for a cantor. She's like, I gotta go to a synagogue right now. The candle's
like,
he's
like,
hey, that's my impersonation of cantor. That was like the cantor at the synagogue that I went to as a child. That's all they do. They just do. I feel like cantors just do variations on yay.
Yay, yay, yay. Yay, 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 yay.
I love macaroni.
So, the girls are trying to talk about something, anything, because Nene's obviously in a
Nene
place.
And Marla's there too, by the way, we should say.
Yeah, Marla comes with her. And so. They're like, she's like, so what do you think about Portia? I mean, I think that's great. She's getting pregnant. Maybe she'll get married. And Cynthia's like, yeah, that's great. And Nene's like, give me the tuna.
Can I have tuna, please?
Tuna.
She's doing that, like, very obvious subject change to show that she's going through something. She doesn't want to talk about something. Because we also learned that Greg, you know, the surgery went well, but the recovery is tough. And they might have to put, like, a tube down his, you know, down his mouth and nose and go down to his stomach and, like... like, to me, that's like a nightmare, you know, because I've got a massive gag reflex. I don't even know how I'd deal with that. Maybe it'd improve it. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I need it. But the point is, so Nene is talking about how, you know, in Tokyo, she was really stressed because of everything going on with Greg. And she was mad at Greg. And she was saying how, you know, she's the caretaker, but she needs support. Which, by the way, I think is totally valid. I think it's totally, like, it's hard being the caretaker. You do need support. It's hard to give yourself over to someone else and then not have anyone to have, like, your back in any sort of way. But when she's like, Nene goes, you know, I get that he's caught up in a serious health thing, but like, I'm going to restaurants by myself and like, Greg doesn't even care. Like, why doesn't he just come and like, just sit with me while I eat? Why can't he even do that? I'm like, because he is recovering from cancer and is on chemo or whatever. And it's probably like massively uncomfortable for him to even sit at a chair while you're eating spaghetti.
Yeah, and he can't drink. He can't eat anything there. He can't have anything to drink while you're sitting there getting wasted. What are you doing at the bar where your husband's sitting down there with cancer anyway?
Yeah.
So, which I get it. Everyone needs their break. I mean, we're going through kind of a thing in my family where my grandfather's real sick and my mom is a caretaker. And I get caretaker stress, okay? I hear about it every day and it sucks. Like, I'm not taking that away from her. But it doesn't make Nini a better person, you know? Like, going through shitty things doesn't make you a hero, like a better person. Doing heroic things doesn't always make you a heroic type personality. You
yeah.
know? She's still an asshole. So basically, I think what I'm saying. She's still a dick.
Like, girl, just masturbate. You know, I think that, like, that she's – I really do get it. Like, I really, really, really do. It does suck. It sucks that she probably feels alone right now and Greg is cranky and just the relationship is not what it was because it's become all about this one thing. But he does have cancer and he's about to have a pipe put down his throat. So,
also other
like
– people in the world going through things. You know, everybody's sitting there talking and she refuses to say anything nice about Portia because I guess she's mad at Portia now. So she's decided that she's not going to say anything nice about Portia. So while they're trying to say nice things, she's like, give me the tuna. I want a cucumber. I need this. I need that. And so then she's out of nowhere. She's like, well, you know, I got back from Tokyo. And that was hard. It's like, God, what an asshole. Why does anybody hang out with this woman?
Well, also, like, you know, Marlo is like, you need to get a nurse. You know, Marlo is right. She should get a nurse. She's wealthy enough. They're privileged enough that they can get a nurse. And Nini's like, well, Greg doesn't want one. And it's, and then Nini's like, I'm the sort of person that doesn't like to ask for help. I'm like, you know what? Don't complain then. Don't complain about sitting alone, whatever, and then be like, I don't like to ask for help. Get the nurse, and if Greg has a fit, who the fuck cares? Okay, the nurse is not for Greg. The nurse is for you. So that way you can live your life, okay?
Yeah.
Nini. Nini. See, I'm supporting you. I'm angry at you and I'm supporting you at the same time.
Okay, so then we get a Portia cam, which is something
Laura,
that
it's Lauren cam.
Well, it's for Portia. Let's have your, It said Portia cam on the TV.
Oh, mine said Lauren cam.
Oh. Maybe I just saw that's one of those things where I'm bending reality to fit my narrative.
I think it was. I think you just saw a small peach.
That was a real fork in the microwave moment. Okay.
That sounds like business jargon. You know, business jargon has all sorts of weird shit that they say. Like, this is a real opening the kimono moment. That's a real business jargon term.
So, yeah, Portia is getting ready in her closet because she thinks she's going to a charity event with Dennis. And her sister's like, oh, my God, she is going to freak out when she finds out she's getting proposed to. Like, I'm sure that Portia is just shocked, guys.
Yeah. She's like, propose? I mean, you'll be receiving a business proposal to open up your own hot dog stand.
Oh, I knew it.
So that's pretty much that. So then.
Now.
Okay.
Are we ready? Are we ready for this? Are we ready for this?
I have nothing to say for this. It infuriated me. I'm infuriated now. Okay. I'm eviscerated.
So I'm already not into Eva's wedding storyline. I think we've been both of us have been very vocal about it since the trailer that we were not going to be for it. So now it's Eva, 3 weeks until the wedding. And her friend Cianita is there, and
Sunita.
A bunch of Cianita. Oh, so yeah. I'm like Cianita. So there's a bunch of FedEx boxes, and we've learned there's been a travesty, which is that the fabric that Eva needs for her reception dress no longer exists, which means she will not be having the reception dress of her dreams, you know, which is, as we know, the dress that all young girls dream of, their reception dress, which means that she's only going to have two out of the three dresses that she intends to wear at her wedding, which, of course, includes the wedding dress, the absent reception dress, and then the farewell dress. She only has two out of three. And I think we can all admit this is this calls for maybe a candlelight vigil, maybe a GoFundMe. I don't know. I don't know what we do. I don't know how we fix this dilemma.
Well, she's like a little kid that you can't even give him a lollipop. You know, it's like one of those brats. I mean, me. Let's face it. I've lived like this, but you can't give them anything to make them happy. And so her friend is over here with tons and tons of boxes that she's brought over and carried by herself. By the way.
And yeah,
she brings them all up for her to try on, and Eva just sits there and mopes while her friend does everything, which is why I'm never going to be a bridesmaid again. So no one even ask, because I'm not doing it again. There's a reason that that gay people should not be mixed in with bridesmaids, okay? And this is why, because I would have been like, get the fuck up,
What is wrong with you? I'm leaving you at this putt-putt place. If you don't pick up your stick and hit the ball, stop taking selfies of yourself, you little brat.
It really happened this week. But who does that? Who treats their friend like that? What a monster.
Yeah, and she's like, I don't want just a pretty dress. These are like, they're all pretty, but I don't want just a pretty dress. I want something that feels like it was made for me. Okay, like, you're not Jacqueline Onassis. Okay, so calm down. Like, I get it. On one way, I do get it. You know, she is a model. This is sort of her thing, you know? And so having three looks is kind of like, you know, there will be pictures and everything. So I, in a certain way, I do get it. But bitch, most people, when they get married, most brides wear their wedding dress, and they wear it from the ceremony to the reception to the farewell. Okay, so like, you have two dresses out of three.
In a Holiday Inn basement.
Go to Marshalls. How about that? Yeah. Go to Marshalls.
Go to Marshalls. And you know how much are you even paying for those dresses from your friend who's a designer who's making them all for you and got TV time? You know she's getting all this shit for free and then sitting back and being mean about it and like crying in his face while he's already worked his ass off for her.
Yeah, just go to Mood, and then I'm sure there's several Project Runway alums that are right there in Atlanta. Go to Mood, have something made. It's easy, okay?
You're on to Cynthia Bailey's old stock at the modeling school. She's got to have something left over there.
Well, the other thing is that like this isn't even the wedding dress, okay? The wedding dress is where all like the massive complexity is. Asterisk, I am not a fashion gay, so a lot of times I don't know what I'm talking about. And when we start recapping Project Runway, get ready for a lot of uninformed opinions. Okay, back to the present. But seriously, it's the reception dress. It's just got to be like a white, cute, almost like a cocktail dress, right? Maybe a little bit longer, but like it doesn't have – like a wedding dress, there's like all sorts of considerations. You know, the shape and the sequins and the this and the that and where's the shirt and the train and all that. But like you can get a really cute white reception dress. A lot of people do like the
Leanne Locken style where it's a wedding dress but then the train comes off and it's a reception dress.
Infinity
and
dress.
A little cute jacket on and it's a goodbye dress. I mean,
why did she not reach out to Leanne Locken and get a Linfinity dress for the reception? Then she could have had a reception look. Then she could have had a cocktail hour look. She could have had a toast look. She could have had a farewell look. She could have had, we're eating at a food truck because it's like midnight. Look,
she could have had I'm wearing toilet paper on my arms like I'm trying to be a truck stop art for no reason.
She could have had like a cape. She could be like, I'm going to the State of the Union look, you know.
I just don't like also, well, not just because I don't like a lot, but I don't like also that she added in like all that I just dealt with my grandfather and that I'm dealing with in my dress. I'm like, you're putting your fucking grandfather who went through bloody hell with your fucking third dress account with you, lady.
Okay? And I'm like, you know what? We just sat there and we're hearing stories of Greg getting a pipe put down his throat and like he finally got his colostomy bag taken, like now his intestines repaired, and you're like, I don't have my reception dress.
Mimi had to drink at a bar alone. Okay.
So she's like, I have spent so much money on this wedding. Like, there's like too many guests are coming. I need to get dresses for Marley. There's food. There's floral. Oh my God. I'm like, okay. You know what? TaskRabbit and Marshalls. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's ridiculous. And I went from like maybe kind of warming up to her to utterly hating her guts now. Like, I hate this girl now.
I wasn't mad because it gave us something to like. Like, it made something interesting happen in the episode. I was like, okay.
I'm having an emotional reaction. You're fucking sitting here crying about your third dress, and then your friend comes to help you and shit all over her. Like, I can't with her. Okay, so now, dramatic.
And she's going to get her dress, too, by the way, obviously.
Of course, for free. So,
we're disgusted. Disgusted. I wish, for people who don't watch us on TV Party or don't watch the what we put up on Patreon, you're really missing out on a lot of really, really frustrated faces from me and Ronnie. Right?
I know. This has really taught me a lot doing this video thing. One is that Botox is real and I need to get it. And two is that it's really fun to see what you're doing over there and like see your faces.
Well, because I get the angrier I get, the more I take these indignant sips of Starbucks. Because
even when we do live shows, we're sitting next to each other. We're not looking at, you know, we don't really, we still see each other, but only when we look over, you know, I'm not sitting there looking at you like we're having lunch. And it's really funny seeing what you're doing over there.
And it's funny to watch you vape because when you vape, I guess you don't want to blow it at the computer screen, so you bend back and you like blow it up to the ceiling. You're sort of like a train. So it's like a train leaving the station. Ronnie leans back. It's like anytime
is so
now
trashy.
I know. Every now and then, when there's like a little bit of a pause, it's nice to see. I'm like, oh, he's just finished. Like he's getting he's like vaping. Like the vape is coming out, so he can't talk at the moment.
Yeah,
like, that's what's
we're
happening.
We're either sipping or vaping.
The thing is, you probably hear my Starbucks every time. Do you hear the ice swirling? I apologize to the listeners because it's probably really annoying to hear like occasional ice swirling in your ears.
No, like I don't. I mean, I heard that because you did it, but I mean, I can't judge today because Hippocrat. Except mine is from modpizza.com, where you can make
pizza
your own
pizza. Oh, pizza sounds wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, and also I want to say thank you. A bunch of people came out to see me and Brandy and Julie's show, and it was so nice for people to come because I was really only in 10 minutes of the show. And then even then, I just screamed and yelled and walked away. But my monologue was about how much I tried to like have therapy and learn to be happy, but then I was depressed because I really like being miserable. Like I like to rant and rave like we get to do on the show, and then I ranted and raved a lot and screamed and threw the mic. It felt so good. But then somebody came up and she's like, oh, I made this I knew you were gonna be here, so I made you this bracelet, and it says everything pisses me off, and it's like the sweetest thing. So thank you for doing that for me. Like that's like I'm wearing it every day. It's like my favorite thing.
Well, it's funny because I'm like a very impressionable person, and a lot of times I take on attributes of people that I'm around a lot, like their humor, their style, or the way they talk. Like I'm just one of those people. Like it's just, you know, I took a Myers-Briggs test from like BuzzFeed the other day. really authoritative, and it was like you gain your core set of values from people around you. It doesn't come from like inside you. And I was like, oh. It's like that kind of makes sense. I and then I was like, am I just like an empty husk of a person who just like adjusts to whoever's around? Either way,
everybody
I've
takes
noticed
core
that
values from people around them. How else would we know what to do and what not to do?
Well, so like, but either way, I'm like, you know, I have been ranting a lot more on this podcast over the past year. I've really started to rant a lot. Like that was never my thing, but now I feel like I'm constantly ranting. People are like, it's a Ben rant. I was like, that's never been my thing. I'm not like a ranting personality. So I think I'm getting that from you, Ronnie. Thank you.
You're welcome. Isn't it freeing? It feels amazing. And
it's
then you
really
can just
fun.
Go on with your day. Like once you just like get pissed off, say you're pissed off and why you're pissed off, and then get extra pissed off and just like really go for it.
Yeah.
Then you feel better.
I also like the sense that people are a little afraid that they will be the subject of one of my Ben rants. And I feel like that gives me power.
Oh my God. It keeps me on the straight and narrow.
Okay,
so look at all this that we're doing to avoid talking about Portia and her helicopter. Okay, so dramatic violins, and Portia comes in on a helicopter. She's like, wow, this charity really went all out.
I love that she thinks that a nonprofit charity would actually commission a helicopter to bring in like a reality star and a hot dog
from Duluth.
Yeah, like what charity did she think this is? You know, like what charity does that? Like, a charity might do that for Meryl Streep. They're not going to do it for Portia.
It's like Portia. The helicopter blades are made from pickles. Okay, like what are you thinking?
Oh my God, what an image. A pickle copter. She's like,
oh, I get so scared because I wanna eat the propellers, but Mr. Mushnick, if I do that, we'll crash.
She'd beat the shit out of Aubrey too. Oh my God, my sister.
Aubrey too would have no chance of being feed me. She's like, no.
My sister.
She would not go over, and let me tell you something. Portia wouldn't, if Aubrey 2 called up Portia on the phone and was like, come on over, and Portia's not coming over a little watering can. She's calling the cops. She's not even calling the cops. She's just going to call Dennis. She'll send Dennis in there, and then we'll never see Dennis again.
Aubrey 2 is like, feed me, Portia. She's like, no, you feed me. It's like a standoff between the plant and Portia.
The story just like abruptly ends because it's just the two of them demanding to be fed at all times, and Dennis has to come in and chuck hot dogs at both of them.
Oh my God, Carly, my sister just told me a bunch of our episodes are messed up. Just FYI, the shows you recorded from Mom's house that were streaming in the TV party app sound like they were on fast forward. For sure the ones from Monday and Tuesday regular episodes, the bonus episode is not working on the podcast app.
Oh, is she listening on Apple on Apple Podcasts?
I think because, so. I'll do tech support.
Because there's that. Because there's that thing. The most hilarious thing is that on Apple Podcasts, on the lower left-hand corner, there's a little button that if you touch it, you will listen to a podcast at 1.5x. And if you touch it again, it's like two times three. It goes faster and faster. And a lot of times people touch it and they don't realize. And then they blame us. And they'll send us a message or a tweet. They'll be like, you guys need to calm down. You guys are talking like you're on crack. You're speaking so fast. And we're like, you hit fast forward.
Okay, sorry. Okay, we're never going to get through this. I hate episodes like this. Not that we're doing, but that...
I'm actually having a great time.
That we're watching. I know, I'm having a great time too. But whenever it starts out with us being like, fuck this, I hate this show. Let's make this quick. Let's get out of here quick and do our bonus and be done with this fucking day. It's like the most fun just talking about random things.
Yeah, we will start talking about everything.
Yeah, I know, but so sorry, viewers who don't like that, or listeners who
so,
don't like that.
Anyway, so Portia and Dennis arrive at like very Gretchen and Slade. They like come off the helipad, they go downstairs, and little Mo is there and she's singing a song, and Portia's like,
that's my song. Wow, this charity really went all out. They hired my favorite singer, they hired a helicopter, they even put up a thing that said, hello Portia, what a great charity.
Hi Portia.
The singer Lil Mo sounds just like Fantasia. It's weird. She's, I guess, yeah. I'm old enough that Fantasia can inspire young singers that now sound like Fantasia.
I don't have a huge amount of awareness about Lil Mo, but apparently she like broke out onto the scene in the early 2000s. So she's been around. So I think actually Lil Mo may have predated Fantasia.
Well, Fantasia sounds like Lil Mo? Because I love some Fantasia. Oh. I've still been watching her Aretha Franklin tribute and crying.
Yeah, well, my DVR cut that off, so I didn't even get to see it. You know who's my favorite R&B singer from New York? Lil Whoa.
Lil Whoa.
Lil Whoa.
Whoa, you're so Lil. Okay. So Portia cries, and Dennis is like, would you like to be the new Mrs. whatever my last name is? And she's like, and then that's
Lil
Mo's
still
it,
singing,
right?
And then I did like that Portia's like, it's finally happening. I thought it was gonna happen so many times. And we see like a very extended montage of all the times Portia just assumed she's about to get proposed to. They're like going to a movie theater, he's like, I'll buy two tickets. She's like, and like everything.
Is it to the proposal?
So yeah, she gets proposed, and everyone's like, America went like this. Then I went to bed and it was amazing. So
that was it.
Get it together, Real Housewives of Atlanta. We're quitting you if you don't. I'm telling you that right now. We're going to move on to Mexican Dynasties because I can tell you, and I will tell you in the bonus episode, that show ain't going to be fucking around, okay? That show is bringing it. The very first scene of their preview is the dad trying to poop with one of those built-in bidet things that they have in toilets now for rich people. I mean,
oh wow!
I'm
excited.
Okay.
I have not seen the full trailer, so I'm very excited about this.
Yeah. So everybody, go get your tickets for Vancouver. Don't forget, we're
fill those seats so that way we like can have a really super fun time talking shit about Vancouver. Yeah. Real Housewives of Vancouver, not
and
our host city.
Everyone else will see in Austin in a couple weeks for Crap West. That was our first one. South by Southwest.
Yeah, and then Cincinnati. By the way, come to our Cincinnati show. Also, we're trying the first show sold out really quickly. We added a second show, and the only time that we had available was like a 5 p.m. show. So we're calling it our happy hour show, and we've never done a show that early, but we think it might be kind of fun. So like, let's give it a try. So come to our happy hour show, and we'll
be happy during that hour. Oh my God, people are going to be fucked up at the end of that day. Okay, everybody, we sure love you. Find the rest of our schedule over at watchwhatcrappens.com. Go get your Luann shirts. There's only a couple weeks left of those. And we'll talk to you later, everybody.
Bye.
Rusty Quill presents Stella Firma, a new sci-fi comedy podcast. Join me, Trexel Geistman.
Oh, and also me, David Seven.
David, will you please be quiet? As you follow the adventures of Stella Firma Limited's most effortlessly charming and respected planet designer, working to make your requests a reality.
And me, his clone assistant, who actually writes things down.
David, one more word out of you and I'm putting your head in a vacuum tube. Season 1 premieres on February 15th and is available for free via iTunes, Spotify and all other good podcast players. For more information, visit rustyquill.com.
Trexel, can we please get back to the brief now?
Right, that's it. Into that tube.
Finding your perfect new home can be tough. So if you keep missing out,
it's time to search at
On the Market.
There are thousands of new properties to buy or rent every month at onthemarket.com. 24 hours or more before they're on Rightmove or Zoopla.
On the Market.
See them first. Set up a property alert today.
Search onthemarket.com to find your perfect home.
If you're in the market, search onthemarket.com. See onthemarket.com/new and exclusive. Agents specify exclusivity.